Passion account, it's the most intricately structured part of the whole gospel. It's the heart of our redemption. It's not about just what Jesus had to endure physically. It's about what he took on spiritually, taking on all of our sinfulness upon himself, the sinfulness of all of humanity from the beginning until the end of the world, and crucified that on the cross, so that there is nothing that we endure where he has not been. St. John Paul II wrote that Christ did not come to take our suffering away, but to fill it with his presence. This is what our God will do to free us from the power of Satan and a fallen world. Briefly, I want to point to the actions and reactions to Jesus of some people in this passion narrative. The chief priests, they seek to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. Later, we're told that Pilate knows the chief priests handed him over out of envy. The light of Jesus reveals the treachery and the envy that was always in their hearts. When it reveals what's in our hearts, we can take that to be forgiven, not just leave it there. We want to remove it. We welcome that light for us. Next, the phrase, handed him over, occurs 5 times in this story. First, Judas goes to the chief priests, whose hearts are full of treachery and envy, to hand him over. He comes to a treacherous deal, and he looks for an opportunity to hand him over. Not out of treachery, but for money. Some of us are treacherous and envious. Some of us are greedy for fortune and fame. Twice, though, the gospel says Judas wants to hand him over. Later, we're told that the whole Sanhedrin, which was the whole Jewish governing council, handed him over to Pilate, a pagan foreigner. And then the chief priests in particular are singled out for having handed him over for envy. And lastly, we're told that Pilate handed him over to be crucified. Judas for money. The Sanhedrin and the chief priests out of treachery and envy. And the pagan to crucify him. Which is another way of saying Pilate hands him over for our redemption. Just like the pagan soldiers mock him, pretending that he's a king. Except that, no joke, he is a king. So everyone wants to hand Jesus over. But who's actually responsible? It's God. And God alone, who truly handed over his beloved son. Or another way of saying that is that Jesus handed himself over for our redemption. But you and me, our sins, are responsible for his suffering and death. Judas, the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, Pilate, and you and me, we're all part of the story. Let's look at Peter. First, he's full of rivalry and envy. Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be. Comparing envy. And then he's full of bragging. Even if I should have to die with you, I will not deny you. But his rivalry and his bragging are empty. He's told to keep watch and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, the one he's going to die for, tells him, watch and pray. But immediately he falls asleep. Three times he falls asleep. Three times he denies his master. Next, let's look at the woman who anointed his head. She took an alabaster jar. The jar itself is fancy and expensive, and she shatters it, holding nothing back of the costly, genuine spikenard that she pours out on his head. The only time the Messiah, which means anointed one, is anointed with oil, just like a king and a priest would be as well. The woman gave him everything she had. Just like earlier in the gospel, the widow had given everything that she had as well. Jesus had praised the widow earlier in the gospel for putting two small coins in the temple treasury, giving everything that she had. Some were infuriated with this woman for such a waste. But nothing is ever wasted when it's given to the Lord. Nothing is wasted when it's given to the Lord. And she's a model of the gospel for us to this day. A model of how to give him everything. What am I holding back? Lastly, in some ways, the most powerful witness in this passion account comes from the pagan centurion who stood gazing upon him on the cross for 6 hours. And then when he saw how Jesus breathed his last, he declared, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The centurion is a model for us as well, to take time to gaze upon the crucified Jesus and to understand that it was the way Jesus died that provoked this tremendous act of faith. Jesus' breath came out of him. His Holy Spirit came out from him. And the first thing that holy breath did was to inspire the centurion to an act of faith. That Holy Spirit has been breathed into countless Christians ever since, inspiring faith, inspiring our faith. That's why we're here. Today, let him be handed over for you. Today, shatter your past and pour out your heart on him, all that you have. Today, gaze for hours upon the crucified Christ, our anointed King and High Priest, and breathe in deeply his Holy Spirit, the holy breath of the Son of God. And that's your homework.